everybody, and welcome back to the Pressing Coverage Podcast. We are on our last episode, our NFL preview series, and we're going to talk about the NFC East today. But first, I'm, as always, one of your hosts, Mason. And of course, I'm joined by none other than the guy that he had just retired due to a back injury, and he is now joining CBS Sports as a reporter. Max, what is good, bud?
Hey, when you put your team on the back on your back like that, you're going to have a bad time. It hurts, man. A little bit after a while. Just not enough yoga, not enough stretching. It really puts a toll. Stretch early, kids. Very important.
Yeah. Feel free to say hi to Tony for me.
Will do. We'll become best buds, have a few beers together.
Oh, I hope
so. And send you selfies without you, and you'll be sad.
I will be sad, because what a guy. So, yeah, like we said, we're talking about the NFC East today. The
best division arguably, of football.
I would say, yeah, the most interesting division in football. It's absolutely the division that gets the most ratings thanks to the rivalries as well as the markets, as well as there is this team known as that plays in this dome called Jerry World. I don't know, maybe you've heard of it.
The Death Star?
The Death Star, the eighth wonder of the world, whatever you want to call it. So, Max, obviously this division is near and dear to both of our hearts.
See.
We both love to hate all the teams in it, except our own.
Yes.
Our own. But at the same time, we also have a lot of respect for all of the other teams, all the players.
Retuspect.
And so, yeah, I mean, like, we're not going to go full first take and just go blind Stephen A. Smith, cowboy hating. Or, you know, Skip Bayless, blind NFC East, just hating. But, you know, man, what a show that was. What a show that was at its peak.
It was so
Yeah, I mean, it still is. I still enjoy the occasional first take episode. Anyways, so yeah, we're going to talk about the NFC East and the Cowboys, Redskins, Giants, and of course the Eagles. All right, Max, let's just jump right in with the reigning division champion coming off a 13-3 season that was a huge success, was the storyline of the entire NFL last year, was really the coming out party for Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott. So, Max, let's talk about the Cowboys. What is your pressing question for the team down in Arlington?
Zeke, yeah. Sorry, I had to do it before you did. So, my question for the Dallas Cowboys, America's team, as some may say. I may say not, but...
It is absolutely America's team. That is not a debate. That is a fact.
Well, I don't like to acknowledge it.
Okay, that's fair. I was just going to say, because it does not mean that everyone roots for them. The phrase comes from, they would garner the most fans on the road, but they would also garner the most boos. So, fun fact, they're called America's team because they are the most loved and the most hated team in America, and that's also why they get so many views on Sunday Night Football, and they make the NFL the most money. So, there you go. I mean, I am a Cowboys fan, but I'm not going to, like, post my head up in the air and be like, yo, we America's team, we the best team of all time. So no, I'm not gonna say that, but just that is where it comes from. It's more of like a money making thing, if anything. All right, anyway, sorry, Max. So your question is,
so this offseason they lost a lot of pieces on their defense. They lost Barry Church, they lost Morris Claiborne, they lost JJ Wilcox. So my question, the Cowboys already had a pretty average defense last year. They did have a really good rushing D, but their passing D was already pretty weak. So how are they going to regain that lost production on an already weak passing defensive team? So they did draft in the second round Chidobe
Awuzie.
Chidobe Awuzie. Who could be a sneaky good pick. We'll see. He did have some first round hype going into the draft. So that'll be interesting. I think he's starting out the season as a second string, correct?
He may be thrust into the starting role because of just injuries. But yeah, I expect he'd start off in the second as the second tier. The player in the second tier that I think will be the best of maybe even of this just this Cowboys rookie class is going to be Xavier Woods. Okay. I think he looks legit. I mean, he looked great in the preseason, which again, everybody looks great in the preseason except for a few people. So I like what I've seen from him. I think he can be a very good roamer. But I like what I've seen from him. I think he will be the best in the secondary, at least of all the rookies on the Cowboys this year. In fact, I think he might be the best defensive rookie on that team.
Okay. Wow. That's saying a lot, considering he was, what, a mid second day pick?
Yeah. Well, hey, Richard Sherman was a sixth round pick, so.
True. And then the Cowboys also picked up Nolan Carroll in the offseason, who
yes.
He did have his best season statistically last year, but it was still a very average season. He was
yes,
okay
but
rather than bad.
And he is suspended, I believe, for the first two games.
Okay. So I think
because of a DUI.
Yeah, that's so they have so many good pieces on all the factors of their game. But this one area is lacking, considering that there is some great wide receivers in this division. So I think that's going to be hard. I think the Cowboys are going to be a team who are going to have their offense on at all times to win games, because I think they're going to
yes.
be exposed in the pass in their secondary.
So kind of like last year.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
and they're potentially going to be without Zeke for a good minority of their season.
Yeah, for a six-game stretch, it could look like.
So I think unless they can go 3-3, 4-2 in that stretch, I think it's going to be very hard for them to repeat as winners of the division.
They're not. I mean, I'm going to say this right now. They're not going 13-3 again. That's not going to happen. If they go 14-2, I'll get a butt tat.
Of Zeke's face.
Probably not. Probably just Dak smiling or something.
Okay.
But yeah, no, I mean, they lost a lot of those snaps on the defensive side. However, I'll say this: those players they lost weren't great. Claiborne had his best season ever, but then he somehow got a bone in his pelvis torn off, which that has to hurt a lot.
Yeah.
So there is that, which is a shame because I was rooting for the guy to do well, and he had a good season by his standards, and now he's in the Jets. So he will probably be forgotten in the land of misfit toys.
Yep.
But, I mean, for me, it's the big thing. This is not my question, but it kind of does factor into it, is that, you know, all the suspensions are going to hurt. Because, you know, you have a lot of your starters, whether they be great or not, they are your starters nonetheless, are going to be gone for at least the first four games, and Zeke maybe for six of the first seven. So that is problematic. Luckily, that stretch isn't horrible. It's not a grind yet. They do have to play the Broncos, the Cardinals, which I think for me, this part of the schedule really depends on how good the Cardinals are going to be. I think they'll be able to handle the Broncos because the Broncos offense, I think, is just going to be absolute butt. But they obviously their defense is good, but they did lose. They did lose Wade Phillips, who I think is probably the best or the second best defensive coordinator in the league. Yes, former Cowboy coach. That being said, though, they still do have Von Miller, Chris Harris Jr., and Aqib Talib. So I'm not gonna just write them off. And yes, there's the Giants week one. There's the Redskins, I believe, in week seven or six. They play the Redskins right after the bye. But they are lucky that they get the Rams in this as well, even though I think the Rams are probably going to be better than last year. They should be, at least, as well as the 49ers. So I'm guessing that they're going to go 4-2.
Okay.
During the stretch that Zeke is gone, maybe 3-3, because they also play the Chiefs when Zeke is gone. So, I don't know where I'm at with the Chiefs right now. Here's the thing. I'm going to get back to the question, I guess, is which your question was, how do they fix what the secondary?
Yes.
So what they did last year really is, you know, because of how strong that run game was, how good Zeke was, they were really, well, I won't say Zeke, how good that offensive line and Zeke and Dak all were. And of course the wide receivers, they were able to just grind out possession time, keep the clock on their side. And because I truly believe that, yes, I think Zeke is amazing, and I think he is a top three running back, top five running back in the NFL. I think the offense is more centered around that offensive line. Because you saw it with DeMarco Murray a couple of years ago. You saw it with D-Mac 2 years ago. And You know, I think that it is possible for them to still. I think that obviously they lose production from because with Zeke not being there. Of course, Zeke is better than all the other running backs on the roster, but I don't think that means that the ship is sinking without him. They still have Dak, who, like I said the last time, or like I said earlier, I would argue had the best rookie quarterback season of all time. Whether and a lot of that I think is due to the fact that he came into a good situation, but still he still showed up and he still barely turned the ball over and led the team to 13-3. Because we saw Matt Castle lead them to 4-12, so I think that is something to consider. I think Dak, you know, as long as Dak is there, I think they will be fine. And even if Dak goes down, I think they have the second best backup quarterback in the NFC East.
Very big, very big reward to yes. have.
Yeah, I mean, Max, do you know who the best backup in the NFC East is?
The former starter for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Who are you referring to by former starter? You mean like for 1 second?
Yes.
Okay. R.I.P. Yeah, it's Chase Daniel. Got it. Jeez. It's Chase. It's Chase time. Put him in. Sorry, I'm just sorry. Put him in. Bench Wentz. Put him in. Not really, but so I guess now we're finally get to my question, which I've kind of been talking a little bit about, is the line play has to improve on both sides. And I say improve for the offensive line because they lost Ronald Leary and Doug Free. And Leary was really good. He had a very unspoken, underrated season last year on that offensive line. And you get Lyle Collins to come in, and it's still kind of a rotation to see who is replacing the left guard position. But they can't lose production there because that is the most important part of their entire offense. And watching watching him, Tyron Smith, and Travis Frederick all just go to work is fun to watch offensive line play. They make offensive line play fun.
Offensive lines fun again.
Fun again, absolutely. But make the Cowboys defensive line fun again, because there's nothing fun about that right now. Maybe Taco Charlton will be able to produce.
Post play celebrations.
Oh yes, with the serving tacos.
Yes.
Oh, maybe I immediately went to Taco Bell and got a triple pack. But I wasn't that high on him on coming into the draft. But I mean, I think he can be. I think he'd be fine to good between anywhere between fine and good this year. Hopefully, they'll get more out of him than what I expect. I mean, it is Rod Marinelli. He does tend to get guys to play hard for him. But yeah, again, there's a ton of suspensions on the defensive line. Randy Gregory has barely played any football in his career in the NFL after being drafted in the second round. I still have – that's probably still the pick that I dislike the most because the guy got caught smoking pot 2 days before the NFL Combine. And so you can just tell that guy doesn't have his stuff together.
Not at all.
And that's just – I just don't get it. The Jalen Smith pick at the second round last year, I understood. High-character guy. He looked like he was going to be the number one overall pick until he got hurt, and that pick I understand. And he's going to be a very big part of the defense now that Crawford got hurt, and he's going to miss, I think, 8 weeks. So his Jalen Smith's timetable kind of got accelerated, which I think might be the best thing for him. Get him to play early, get his confidence up, because the guy looks like he hasn't lost too much, and so hopefully he'll be able to get back into midseason form. So he should help with runs, with run blocking. But yeah, you know. David Irving is gone for 4 games, I believe. You know, Randy Gregory is gone as well. I mean, you have so many suspensions on the defense that it's like, okay, well, how are we going to be able to cope here? And again, it comes back to the only thing that's going to need to happen is the offense is going to need to carry more of the load, which means the offensive line is going to need to, you know, keep the risk of failure to a minimum, which is why the Zeke suspension hurts even more. That being said, the guys backing him up aren't scrubs. You're going to have Darren McFadden and why am I forgetting his name? The running back from the Redskins. Oh, sorry, Alfred Morris. You're going to have Alfred Morris.
Alfred Morris.
So you're going to have them as the backups. But so yeah, that's why if Zeke were not. If I knew for a fact that Zeke was suspended for 6 games, I'm sorry, if he was not suspended for 6 games, then I would suspect the Cowboys, I would easily pencil them in for at least 11 wins. But now I think that might waver. I think they might go 10-6 and 11-5 in their playoff because the NFC South is so strong, I think. I think they have legitimately three playoff teams.
Mm-hmm.
I think it might be a little tough for them to get to the playoffs if they don't win the division. But, well, as we'll talk about in our predictions pod, we're not too high on this division this year.
We are not.
So, I know that was a long rant about the Cowboys, but that is a team that, you know, that always garners the, for better or for worse, the most headlines in the offseason because of good old Jarrah. So now let's talk about the team in the Big Apple that it's not the Jets, Max. So let's talk about the Giants. Oh, wait, actually, first, did you have anything else to say about the Cowboys?
Nope. We'll see.
Okay. So let's talk about the Giants, Max.
The New York Football Giants.
The elite Eli Mannings. All right, Max. Oh, let me start up with this.
Okay.
So this offseason, they drafted, in the first round, they drafted Evan Engram, who I loved. He's a great receiving tight end. Doesn't really block. Tight
end's great again.
Doesn't really block. And what Eli Manning needs and that what that team needs the most is not defense, because they took care of that last year and it took a huge jump and it was very good. But that offensive line was ass, for lack of a better word. They didn't do anything to fix that. They did nothing to fix that.
Nope.
Yes, they got Brandon Marshall, and you're going to have someone to help Odell Beckham, and you still have Sterling Shepard, but and I mean, you're going to have a five-wide set a lot, but with Odell, Brandon Marshall, Sterling Shepard, Evan Engram, and then another receiver, but who's going to block for him? I mean, Eric Flowers doesn't know how to play football anymore.
No.
I mean, Eli's going to – I actually think that Eli Manning is going to lead the league in interceptions this year because he has no one to protect him. And so how is he going to get the ball out cleanly if – I mean, yes, he has Odell Beckham for 80 yards on a slant every time, but, you know, it doesn't help if he can't get the ball out and he's on his butt the entire time. So that's my big question is how is the offensive line going to do? Because that defense is going to need to play even better than last year if this offensive line doesn't improve.
He somehow was only sacked for 3.5% of their snaps last year.
Well, it's probably because he got the ball out fast, but that's also a lot, considering how many snaps you...
I don't know a number of that, but you're right. That could be a lot more.
Because that's just sack. That is not hurries. That is not hits. That is not knockdowns. That is not runs from the pocket. That is just pure sack.
So my
just pure sack. Nice. But anyways.
So my question is very similar. It does stem off the offensive line. Mine is, can they establish a run game? Because last season they were abysmal in the run category. They were 29th in yards, 32nd in touchdowns. Their leading rusher had 593 yards, and he is not on their team anymore.
Yeah.
So could that be a symptom from a bad offensive line play? I think most definitely. And I don't think that they did anything. They did get Shane Vereen back, who is a very good pass catcher out of the backfield, which I'm sure Eli will be really happy to have that back because he tore his tricep at the fifth game of the year. So I don't know. I think what you said, they need better line play. I think that if they would have made efforts to fix that, their line, I think that could have definitely helped Paul Perkins, who is their bell cow now, to maybe take a step forward, but they didn't do that. So I don't think they're going to be able to answer my question without answering your question, which they did not do.
Yeah. So I'm not super high on this Giants team. I think that they're going to regress. I think the two teams in the NFL that I can for sure peg for a step back this year are the Broncos and the Giants, and both have kind of similar problems. They have all these weapons on offense but can't use them because their offensive line or either quarterback isn't in the right place. And yeah, I mean, the Giants need a good running game so that they can open up the play action pass and have some multidimensionality to their game. But I mean, they won't be able to because that offensive line is, again, Max, say it with me. It's ass. You didn't say it with me. Okay.
They are ass.
There you go. That's better.
Delay. Tape delay.
No, it's fine. So Let's talk about the Washington football team, Max.
Yes, the somethings.
Oh, yes. You hit me with your question.
So my question for the Skins, Mia Khalifa's favorite team.
Yes.
Is so last season they had a big problem, and that was getting their defense off of the field. They were last in the number of first downs they gave up. They were last in the number of plays per drive, and they were last in the number of yards per drive. So that says that they are giving up long, sustained drives, which no matter how good your defense is, no matter who you have, people, guys are going to get gassed. They're not going to be able to play as well as they did the longer they're on the field. They were the average time per drive is 2 minutes and 55 seconds. That's pretty – that's almost three straight minutes of 100% effort. And you're out there, what, at least you factor in around half of the game, so 30 minutes. That's – you're going to get gassed really fast. And they did try to improve their defense. They did make some big splashes the year before with Josh Norman, which did not pan out at all. So I think that it's really just as more of how can they get off the field on third down, which is a question of production. Can they get sacks? Can they get interceptions? Can they break down plays that they were not able to stop before? So they lost arguably their best defensive player last year in Chris Baker, so that does not help. But they did get two guys who had a good 2016, but really no track record, with Zach Brown, an inside linebacker, and then DJ Swearinger, a safety. And then they also tried to draft the entire Alabama defense.
Yes, they did.
Jonathan Allen and Ryan Anderson, which I think should be very, very good for them. And then they also got Fabian Moreau, who could have been a first-round pick before he tore his pec. So yeah. I think they're trying to, I think, do kind of what the Giants did last year, was take chances on guys who maybe had some more analytical signs of success and not long-term track records, and trying to kind of piece together a ragtag defense that happens to work. We'll see. Because they did get some great offensive pieces, which I'm sure you're going to mention.
Absolutely.
So I think that if they can, and they did draft the best wide receiver in last year's draft cast with Josh Johnson.
I so agree. Oh, it's like you know me.
I know. I think if they can somehow, if the defense could just be average, I think they could win the division.
Yeah. So, like, the past 2 years, we both of us have, like, applauded the drafting of the Redskins. And, like, this year, it's clear they're trying to, again, double down on defense, at least get rookies in there and build, you know, with homegrown talent they can get on cheap deals. As for I don't think the Josh Norman thing really didn't pan out, per se. Obviously, I think that he had a lot of help thanks to that Carolina pass rush that year. And he didn't play a ton of zone. I'm sorry, and he didn't play a ton of just one-on-one. He played a lot of zone. And I don't want to say he was exposed, but, you know, obviously things are not going to be as easy when you don't have an all-world defense, you know, just all around you, and especially a pass rush. So that would hurt him as well. I would say that they do have some concerns at linebacker, because I don't know if you heard Sua Cravens announced that he's very, very much considering retirement because of concussions.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah, and he says he has to wear glasses now to see, and he says that he might just retire and leave football behind because he's too afraid of for his health, which absolutely understandable, 100%. Yeah,
definitely a smart move.
So I like the moves they made on defense, and just from a drafting point of view. Obviously, I think having Josh Norman, who's at least a top 15 corner, is fine. Is a good move, even if it is kind of breaking the bank. I will say that I don't think we're talking enough about what they lost on offense.
Okay.
Because that's what my question.
DeSean Jackson.
That's what my
first
question
thing
is.
That comes to mind.
Well, yeah, they lost DeSean Jackson. They lost
Pierre Garçon.
Pierre Garçon.
Probably one of the most underrated wide receivers in the NFL.
Absolutely, 100%. They did get Terrell Pryor, though, who while I don't think he will be as good as DeSean, he's a man. He's very good. He's going to be good I think a lot of people wrote him off because he was a quarterback. But now that he switched to wide receiver, he can do a lot. Like, he can be on the field now, and he was very good for the Browns last year. And he could legitimately be a number one. I think he'll be the number two receiver, though, so don't sleep on them. Just because, yes, they drafted the GOAT, Josh Doctson, who has some of the best body control in the air of any wide receiver I've ever watched, and I'm so happy I got to watch him while he was at TCU, because that guy can freaking ball. And I hope he's healthy this year, because I think he can legitimately develop into a number one wide receiver. So, now that I've had my Josh Doctson hype speech out of the way. So they do still have Jordan Reed, who I think is one of the best offensive tight ends, not named Rob Gronkowski. He does have obviously some injury issues, though. Cousins had, you know, seasons to develop chemistry with those guys, and he only has an offseason to develop chemistry really with Pryor. And that's just the thing with me, is that I think also the fact that he is under another team tag again, franchise tag, I think may be a distraction throughout the season. Because, I mean, honestly, while signing those one-year huge deals, I mean, I'm sure Kirk Cousins loves, it's not the best for him from just a contract safety point of view. Like, if he gets hurt, he's boned for his career, like the future of his career. Like, he doesn't get that long-term safety that he wants, which is why, I mean, he might leave for the 49ers next year. Like, I don't think that's out of the question.
Damn.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Kyle Shanahan knows who his quarterback is, and his quarterback currently plays for the Washington Redskins. He plays for the Washington football team. So, yeah, the Redskins are an interesting team to me this year. I think they'll finish third again in the in the division, but I also would be surprised if they're second or first. I mean, this division is always like a loaded gun. I mean, like, it's like playing Russian roulette. You never know which one's going to be the right one or the wrong one, if in this case. I'm not sure how the Redskins will do. I think they'll hover around 8 wins again. But yeah, because you mentioned, like, that defense is on the field for a long stretches of time. And that's never good, especially when you get gassed, because you wanna have, you know, your defense rested as much as possible. So yeah, I'm intrigued to see where they'll go. I don't think they improved. I think they improved at wide receiver because they had the greatest of all time, because Josh Doctson. But
yes.
I'm not too sure how they what they are going forward. That's my big thing with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like I said, it's very interesting to see what's gonna happen. So Max, let's. You ready to talk about the team and the city of brotherly love?
The Philadelphia Beagles.
The Beagles, baby. Oh, fly Eagles, fly!
Get your batteries out, guys.
Get your batteries out, Santa. Take cover. All right, Max. You want me to take the first one on this?
Go for it, bud.
All right, okay, Max. Here's the thing. So last year, Carson Wentz was in the bottom three of quarterbacks at throwing deep balls. He was not very good. Blame that on offensive line that when they weren't healthy. Blame that on the lack of wide receivers. But also his accuracy downfield was not very good at all, actually, as well. And so, I mean, that should improve in year two with a better offensive line and better wide receivers. But that is one of the most important things in the Doug Peterson offense is the deep ball. And it can't work if it doesn't work for Wentz. And so I legitimately do think that if Wentz doesn't look like he makes that much of an improvement this year, I think it's time to start thinking about maybe finding a new coach. I don't think that means get rid of Wentz, not at all. I like Wentz.
Mm-hmm.
I just think from his work ethic alone, I like the guy. But I think that Philly is too in, not too in, but they are all in on Wentz, and that they need to find a coach and a scheme that works for him. And if the Peterson scheme doesn't work, then I think it's time to move on to another coach.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, this kind of all stems back, is how can they find a way to get Wentz good at throwing the deep ball? Because that's kind of the key to getting that offense to take that next step. So yes, they got Torrey Smith. Yes, they got Alshon, who is a good jump ball wide receiver. And Torrey Smith is a good down the field option. But what can they really do to improve that deep ball, Max?
Tutties?
I mean, yes, get tutties. I mean, my big thing is I think they've really addressed a lot of the things they need to do, actually. So yes, they got the better wide receivers, they got the better talent, and they got a competent running back in LeGarrette smoking that good blunt to set up the play action pass, because I really do want to see Carson run a very good play action pass, not against the Cowboys, but against every other team essentially, because I believe in the kid. I believe in the great white and the great red hope. In fact, every time he throws a deep ball for a touchdown, I want him to yell "Flame on" at the camera.
Wow.
Yes.
Amazing.
That'd be the best GIF of all time. But that being said, it wasn't just the wide receivers last year that was the problem. His left tackle got hurt for majority of the season last year.
Well, Lane Johnson was suspended.
That's right. Sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah. He was suspended. And who took over for him at left tackle?
Havadi Vaitai.
Halapalu Vadi Vaitai, former TCU player. Go Frogs. Man,
abysmal.
Friend, no. Hey, he was bad. Yes. I mean, he was bad at the beginning, but he did better. He's more of a guard at the next level, I would say. But that's like, you know, throwing your third string rookie to the wolves, more or less. But yeah, this friend of the pod, Halapalu Vadi Vaitai, aka Big B. You're always welcome on the pod, so just let that be known. So Lane Johnson's back. I think that's going to help the offensive line a lot.
For sure.
Max, you told me that they're carrying 5 running backs on the roster, but they're only going to probably dress 3 a game.
Which is one of the weirdest decisions I've ever seen, but in Jim Schwartz, we trust.
Yeah, I mean, Jim Schwartz is, a great defensive coordinator. I think that defense is going to be the best in the division by a pretty easy margin. And so I think the Eagles are going to be the – if I weren't to pick a team other than the Cowboys to win that division, just because I still think that talent on the offensive side of the ball is so good, I would pick the Eagles. I think the Eagles are legitimately going to win anywhere between 9 and 12 games this year. And if I had to guess, I'd probably guess 10. Unless they just have a Philly collapse and trade Carson Wentz for Kiko Alonso or something.
I wouldn't put it past us. They secretly rehired Chip Kelly in the form of Doug Peterson.
Yeah, that would be a thing that would happen. But yeah, I expect a lot of improvement from this Eagles team. Because they went 7-9 last year, right? Or did they go 6-10?
7-9.
Okay, that's what I thought. I mean, because they showed flashes, like especially that Thursday night football game against the Giants, which was an incredibly hyped game. I wish I could have been there. I mean, just you saw the improvements that team had, and just how tough they're a tough team. You know, Philly teams are always tough just because the environment, or for the most part, they're tough.
I think the most telling game was Week 3 versus Steelers, one of the best offensive teams in the league. They held them 3 points.
Yeah, I do have some thoughts about that game. I think because Martavis Bryant was not there, that had something to do with it, and I don't think Bell was playing either. But that's – I'm not saying that just to write that game off. No, like that is something that is worth noting. I mean, and
they beat the Super Bowl champion, Atlanta Falcons.
Rip. But they went toe-to-toe with Dallas in Jerry World, so I mean, whether that be because Dak had the jitters, I mean, regardless, I mean, I still suspect that defense is going to be very good, and I think that defense
best
may...
Best front 7 in the league.
I would say it's up there. I think it's going to be maybe not as good as Minnesota's defense last year, but I think it'll be probably like a step or two below that. I think they're going to be a very good defensive team. So watch out for the Eagles and what they do this year. So, Max, that is my question. And some change.
Yes. So my question is also related to Carson Wentz.
He's your guy.
You gave up the farm for him. I guess not as much as originally it was, but you still gave up a great deal for the opportunity to draft him. And he is your guy of the future. I moved that at first. I was very, very, very not a fan of. I did not think it was the move, but I was happy with Wentz's performance last season. And I think the middle chunk of the season was not a good indicator of how Wentz is as a quarterback, because they were missing, as you talked about, Lane Johnson, their best offensive lineman. In the games that Lane Johnson was playing, I'm pretty sure they only lost one game. And the offense scored at least scored a lot better and had Wentz had a lot better protection during those times. So I think that that is more telling, especially in one of the most important, the most important offensive line position in football. When you're missing that guy, it's very hard to function.
How many games? What games were he there for? I mean, I do think that stat is a little misleading, because they played the Bears, who were dumpster fire, the Browns, who were dumpster fire. But they did. I mean, I'm not trying to tear down the Eagles here, but I mean, I'm just saying that stat could be a bit misleading. But you're not wrong. I mean, yes, they are clearly a vastly better team with Lane Johnson.
Well, he played the first four games, and then he was out for the next 10 games.
Yeah.
So week 6 through 15. So yeah, he played in the bye week. He got I think he came back for the last three games of the season.
Okay.
So we beat the Giants and the Cowboys.
The Mark Sanchez-led Cowboys, don't forget.
Yes. So I think, is our offensive line going to be one of the best in the league? No. But I think it's going to be enough to give Carson Wentz the time to give Carson what you want, chances to throw the deep ball when he's not on his butt. I think he's going to improve, especially with his they allowed him to develop. They gave him targets who are actually able to catch the football this year.
Yes.
With Alshon Jeffery and Torrey. I think that this could be the year of Nelson Aguilar. He has gotten rave reviews in camp. I want him to succeed so bad, because I loved the pick when it happened.
Did you?
I thought he was a good wide receiver, and we needed a wide receiver.
It was. I think it was the first sign that we knew something was up with Chip Kelly, because he selected a Pac-12 player in the first round that he could have gotten in the second round.
Okay.
I'm kind of teasing though at the same time, but.
I
will say this though, everyone has a good camp. Literally, everyone has a good camp. So when you hear guys say, "Oh yeah, so and so has had a good camp," that doesn't mean a ton. I think also my skepticism comes from Bobby Carpenter, former Cowboy. I think he was a first round pick. I think he was top 10 linebacker out of the Ohio State University. I remember the first 3 years. Oh, this guy's had a great camp. This guy's had a great camp. This guy's had a great camp. Bust, bust, bust. He was ass. He was bad. So I think that's where my skepticism comes from.
My confidence comes from the fact that you trade your leading wide receiver, who serves the same position as him. So you have to have some confidence in him if you're willing to give him the starting job.
Maybe.
So I think there has to be – they have to see something.
I mean, I'll say this. Ted Ginn has a starting job, and he still has center blocks for hands, so
– true.
But there's that.
When he catches one tutty a game because he's just running the same route over and over again, I guess that's better than no production whatsoever.
Yeah, I also just can't get that – GIF, like there's this GIF in my head of, and it's on loop, of Nelson Aguilar dropping a wide open deep ball.
Yep.
So,
but the only thing I'm not sure of, I'm not convinced of our run game. LeGarrette Blount did not have a good preseason. I don't know outside of the Patriots. Can he be that guy, especially on a team who has not had a good running game since LeSean McCoy left?
Forcefully left.
Yes. I think we need that run game, especially for Carson to have more time, so that He's not the only thing defenses are thinking about. So I think next year the Eagles draft a running back, Saquon Barkley, in the first – excuse me, wow, in the first round to really fill out that offense. But I think it's going to take a step forward. I think Carson is going to be the deliverer of hope to the city of brotherly love.
Maybe. Maybe. I mean, obviously there's more to it than just Carson. But like I said, I think I'm – I don't – I mean, honestly, I don't know. Am I higher on the Eagles this year than you are?
I'm just – the Eagles have been hurting me for 22 years now.
I feel like so, that's the way with all NFC East teams, except for maybe Giants fans for those 2 years.
Mason, my grandfather has never seen a Eagles Super Bowl.
Yes, that's, he had.
Like Super Bowl?
A Super Bowl win or just a Super Bowl?
Super Bowl win.
Oh, okay. Well, neither has any Eagles fan ever.
Yes, that's the point.
Well, you know. They had some good runs with Andy Reid.
Oh, God, rest in peace. But on that note, as Max goes and cries in the corner, anything else you would like to add about the East, Mason?
Yeah, I just want to ask you one thing, Max. Gun to your head, what's the Eagles' record next year? 8-8. Really? Okay.
Well, we are playing the West, but...
Okay.
They're playing the AFC West this year, right?
Yes. So that means Chargers, Chiefs, Oakland, and... the Denver Broncos. That Denver Broncos game.
1-3 versus them.
That Denver Broncos game. That Broncos Eagles game has a legitimate chance to be a 3-3 overtime final score.
That'd be beautiful. Defense for days.
Defense for days.
Mason, my closing thought. It may be football time, but the sport the United States is best at, women's tennis.
Yes.
All four American females in the semifinals in the U.S. Open. Tell me what's greater than that. First time since 1985, Mason.
Oh, and two of them are African American, too. Shout out.
True.
So, I mean, yeah, it's a good time. I mean, and the fact that that Serena's not even playing just kind of goes to show how good women's tennis is right now. So it's been a hell of a year for women's tennis.
It has. It has, Mason.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it's just – I'll admit, I have become a little bit more of a tennis fan this year. I watched pretty much every televised match of Wimbledon. I stayed up late as crap to watch Federer versus Nadal, and realized it was 4 in the morning.
Probably the greatest sports matchup of all time.
Well,
in terms of rivalries.
Oh well, it's up there. That and the Bjorn game that lasted for 5 hours.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean it's been a good sports year so far. It's been a fun sports year so far. We're recording this on Wednesday. It'll be Thursday when you guys hear it, and that means football is back.
Football.
Legitimately, we are less than 24 hours away from the regular season kicking off. I am so excited, and just saying the words are making my hand just like shake like out of excitement. I mean, fantasy football time is back. And so we're going to do our best to try and get out 2 pods a week with you guys. One will be about the NFL. The other one will be about wrapping up kind of what's happened in the college football world, because we can't forget our favorite sports, our personal favorite sport of college football.
100%.
So we will have some more stuff coming your way. Stay tuned. Thank you guys so much for sticking around with our NFL preview series. Like we said before, we are excited for NFL season. We've got a lot of good stuff coming, and maybe we'll get Dean on the pod to talk about his favorite team, the 49ers, and by that I mean he loves to just self-punish himself for being a Niners fan, so look forward to that. We've got some great pieces coming, too. Trying to get some roundtables in for the season coming up, and some reaction pieces as well to some of the early games. So stay tuned for that, guys. Thank you so much for listening to our previews, and next up we are going to do our full season, our season preview and predictions, awards, records, playoffs, Super Bowl. And so you can all be sure to tell us how wrong we are after that pod. So thank you guys so much for listening. Feel free to check us out on Twitter @PrestonCover and on Instagram as the same. Go to our website, check out our content, PressingCoverage.com. We're Pressing Coverage on Facebook as well. Feel free to follow me and Max on Twitter. And guys, thanks again so much for listening to us these past couple of weeks. And it's going to be getting even better on the way forward. Peace! Sweet Caroline.